The challenges of poverty and homelessness affect thousands of young people across Maine and create barriers that extend far beyond school walls. But some districts are trying approaches aimed at keeping those kids engaged in learning by also helping them with basic needs. In this final installment of our series, Finding a Way, Robbie Feinberg reports on a program in York County that's working with teens who've been through traumatic experiences and how it's showing early signs of success.
Janie could have easily abandoned her hopes for a high school diploma at any time over the last few years. The senior, who asked us not to use her last name, says she moved all over the place growing up, never settling.
Washington and Florida, Mississippi and Ohio. I was born in Ohio. Just different parts of Maine. I lived in Kentucky. A lot of places.
When she was 14, Janie says her mom moved again without much explanation, and she was left in Maine, largely on her own. She couch surfed, found temporary spots with family and friends, but medical issues compounded the problem and left her mostly unable to go to school or work.
Yeah, I wasn't really attending enough for them to count me as being in school, but it was never my intention to, like, drop out and just, like, not go to school. I wanted to, I just didn't have, like, the means to come here.
All right, sounds good. So if the numbers are getting mean...
But last year, she enrolled at the Biddeford School Department's Alternative Pathway Center, where many of her classmates have also experienced some trauma.
We have 7 students out of 50 who have lost at least one, if not both, parents to opioid overdoses. So it's been tough.
Martha Jakes is the director of the center.
We have a couple kids who had dropped out and have then come back to school. Some are homeless, some are, you know, couch surfing, living with different people, but they can't afford to get an apartment by themselves.
What's also different about the center is that it stands alone, about a mile from Biddeford High School. It occupies the first few floors of a renovated old house. There are only 40 kids, as compared to more than 700 at Biddeford High, and a few teachers and support staff, all split amongst assorted classrooms and offices. Teacher Stephanie Jackson sits down with a few students to talk them through a unit from science class.
So when you come through, those definitions are going to come up.
Okay.
Senior Shay Torres says the small size and these one-on-one relationships have helped her to feel safe at school.
The teachers make it feel at home. Like, they just make it fun. Like, make it so you want to come here every day and just want to stay forever.
Students have been referred to the center by friends, school staff, or outside agencies. They meet with the teachers here to see if they're a good fit, then sign a contract agreeing to behavioral and attendance expectations. Teachers also craft a personal learning plan for each teen based on their needs. Some just work in a classroom, while others perform more hands-on work in the community, making bikes or working in a wood shop to help them earn credits to graduate.
On a structural level, we really try super hard to find any way for them to be successful.
Teacher Stephanie Jackson says the flexibility is important to encourage students to come to school, even with a full-time job or other significant responsibilities.
So you can only come on Tuesdays and Thursdays, because so you got to work a job. What if you do this and this and this in those times? You know, so I think it's trying to get a plan for each kid, letting each kid know they have their plan. They're going to decide on what they're going to do and what they're not going to do.
The strategies aren't entirely unlike other alternative programs in other high schools across the state. But one thing that makes this program different is the vision of its director, Martha Jakes. She's also a licensed social worker, so she meets with each student regularly and helps to connect them with social service agencies. The school even offers a small food pantry and washer and dryer on campus. 2 years ago, when Jakes was hired, she saw that many students were working full-time jobs or spending many hours a week on counseling and other intensive mental health supports. She didn't want school to interfere with that work. So, with approval from administrators, she created a program allowing students to receive school credit for doing it.
I just felt like it was important. I felt if a student's willing to do work on themselves as a 16, 17, 18-year-old, that will likely help them be a more successful adult. And that's important to me. It's important to help these kids have tools that they can carry with them, you know, throughout the rest of their lives.
Last year, the district allowed Jakes and the rest of the staff to debut their revamped approach. Jake says the results even surprised her.
You know, we went from attendance rates of 63% to attendance rates of 89%. You know, we had 19 kids graduate last year. We have 26 kids that are going to graduate this year. Students come to school. They're here. They want to be here.
But if I didn't have the school, I probably wouldn't be going to school.
Connor, a junior, says he basically didn't go to school during ninth grade because of family unrest and dysfunction. But he says this year he's grown to trust the staff and even made the honor roll. And Jake's hopes that these kinds of stories and the experience in Biddeford can show other districts the value of investing in needs beyond the classroom.
Of course, it comes back to money. I think that the fact that basically it's a 40-to-1 ratio for social worker to students is fantastic. You know, the fact that I can meet these kids where they're at, that I can be here and available for them, that we can provide the support to really help them be at a baseline place where they're open and willing to learn is really important.
Programs like this can't respond directly to the root causes of poverty, substance abuse disorder, and homelessness. But even with limited resources, some schools and social service agencies in Maine are finding a way to help kids overcome those challenges and perhaps find success as adults. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
If you missed any part of this series or would like others to hear it, you can find all of these segments online at mainepublic.org. Our reporting on issues affecting teenagers and young adults in Maine is made possible with support from the John T. Gorman Foundation.